The Supreme Court this month is scheduled to hear arguments on whether the detainees at the U.S. naval base in Cuba may ask American courts to review their cases. More than 600 of the detainees have been held at the base in Guantanamo Bay, incommunicado. Nearly all of them have not been charged and do not have legal representation. They are classified as enemy combatants and suspected terrorists. Despite the outcry from human rights groups and many lawyers, the military says it continues to get valuable information from the detainees. NPR's Jackie Northam just returned from a media tour of the base.
From the minute a military escort meets journalists at the airport, it's clear the three-day, highly orchestrated tour of the base is geared towards two messages. The first is to show how humanely the detainees are being treated.
Okay, that's our proofing area, our bakery area. This is some of our food prep tables right here.
One of the first stops is the food services area. Military officers say meals are prepared in line with the Muslim detainees' religious traditions.
Okra and tomatoes, boiled potato in the center here, and the fish stew at the end. Also, you can see in the cardboard box here, they're getting a couple slices of whole wheat bread.
There's also a tour of the medical facilities that has state-of-the-art surgical equipment and dental services. One detainee has even had heart surgery. But there's another message that is continually driven home by military officials during the tour of the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base. That is, there's good reason to hold the detainees indefinitely.
Make sure you have your badges exposed as we go through. And as we get inside the gates, we need to make sure we stay tight. We can only open up one gate at a time.
There's heavy security around and within Camp Delta, known as the Wire, where the detainees are being held. The cells are 7 foot wide by 8 foot long. The ceilings are 8 feet high. The walls are made of steel mesh, which makes them look like cages. Camp Delta is split up into smaller camps, says Colonel Nelson Cannon, the commander of Camp Delta.
So when everybody comes here, they start out in Camp 3. It's just, that's where everybody begins. And if a detainee is obeying all the rules and doing what they're told and not being disruptive or anything like that, they'll move to Camp 2 in about 30 days. You can get all the way to Camp 1 just by behaving. Now, we certainly expect them to be cooperating with their interviewer as well.
Cannon says the primary mission is to gather intelligence, and he says the system is run on incentives and rewards.
And as you move along, you get more comfort items. They're just small little things. It could be just a bottle of water instead of drinking out of the faucet out of the sink.
Cannon says the greatest incentive is to get to Camp 4, the only medium security facility.
You might see some detainees out recreating. They're probably out right now recreating and all that. So obviously, just like anyone else, please don't stare at them. It's a sign of disrespect. You don't want anyone staring at you. And if they say anything, we will take care of that. Please do not respond.
About a dozen men wearing white robes and beards and gathered in a small courtyard gaze out at the visitors on the other side of the chain link fence. In Camp 4, detainees can spend about 8 hours a day outdoors, rather than the 30 minutes they're allowed every second day in the other camps. Unlike the other camps, detainees in the medium security facility can eat and pray together or kick around a soccer ball. But they're still subject to interrogation, which goes on day and night. Captain Jeffrey Miller, the commander of the entire Guantanamo base, says even after months of interviewing, interrogators are still garnering operational and strategic intelligence.
And that comes from how terrorism is organized, how it's recruited, how it sustains itself, how it's funded and resourced, and how it interconnects itself on a global network. That information stays fresh for a long period of time. And in many cases, it is as fresh today on a detainee who has been here 1 year as it was when he came. Some days we have great finds. Some days we don't develop any really big intelligence.
Miller says some of the intelligence has helped prevent terrorist attacks, but the base commander won't give details. He says about 85% of the detainees give information voluntarily. But several detainees, British and Afghani, who were recently released from Guantanamo, claim they were tortured for information. Captain Miller disputes those charges.
We use no coercive interrogation methods, no stress positions, no sleep deprivation. Our interrogator teams, called Tiger teams, are very good at what they do.
Even if there is no sign of physical maltreatment, there are widespread concerns that the open-ended detentions are taking a toll on the mental health of the prisoners. So far, only two captives have been charged. Military officials on the base say holding the detainees is part of the war on terrorism. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether the prisoners can contest their captivity in civilian courts. The case will resolve the jurisdictional question, which depends on whether the U.S. has sovereignty over the naval base located on Cuban territory. Captain Leslie McCoy, the naval base commander, says the U.S. has had a lease with the Cuban government since 1903.
The original payment for the lease was $2,000 a year in gold. In 1934, when we signed the new treaty, that changed, and we were paying $4,085. And we're still paying that to this day. Every July, we send a check to the Cuban government for $4,085. And Fidel Castro's cashed one. The rest are going into a drawer somewhere.
The lease is perpetual and doesn't need to be renegotiated. The U.S. government says that agreement gives America control over the base, but not necessarily sovereignty. That's something the Supreme Court will look at in late April. No matter which way it decides, Captain McCoy says it's clear the detention center at Guantanamo Bay will be operating for a long time.
As long as the United States is fighting that global war on terrorism, the Joint Task Force will be here, and we'll be here to support the Joint Task Force. There are some very, very bad people behind the wire down there, and some of those people may, they may be here for a long time.
As part of that, a two-story office building that sits high on a bluff overlooking the harbor has recently been designated as the courthouse for the upcoming military tribunals. A couple of miles away, another prison is being erected alongside Camp Delta. Jackie Northam, NPR News.